To the book of Job, chapter 19. Job chapter 19, and I want to start reading in verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I'm just going to stop right there, because that's the thought I'm looking at. Job's words are written in a book. His prayer was answered, Walter. His words are now written. They're printed in a book. And that still just amazes me. Because there is a whole book of Job's words, good and bad. And Job's friends' words, good and bad. Now God does confront Job in the end of the book. But at the end, God tells Job's miserable comforters that Job spoke rightly. And this is one of the places for sure. Job spoke rightly. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar did not speak rightly of God, as God's servant Job did. So Job asked in this instance that his words were written forever. Now, I don't know about forever, but so far so good. They're still here. These words have been passed down. First, they were passed down, I assume, orally, verbally, and translated and written down so that we have them today. We have Job's words written for our example, our edification, our exhortation, and our warning, because we have these words now. Now, Job said a lot of good things. Those were written down. One of them, it says that Job worshiped God. Even after everything had been taken from him, Job worshiped God. Starts off in chapter 1, verse 20. It says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. That was after he received the news that his children had been killed. Everything had been destroyed. I mean, it's almost something out of a movie. Everybody died except one guy to come give Job bad news. Twice. All perished except I, who come to tell you this. But Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and he worshiped. In verse 21, he says, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's worship. In verse 22, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Then in chapter 2, when he was afflicted with boils, then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Now, there are those, and we're surrounded by them, who speak as if those in the Old Testament didn't know much about God, Christ, and the Spirit. And this is one of the things that always has fascinated me about what did they know in the Old Testament. In Old Testament times. And I'm here to say the Old Testament saints knew a lot more than most people think. And they knew a lot more than just about anybody will give them credit for. All we have are the words that are written. That's all we have. Now, if you want to watch television and Ancient Secrets of the Bible, you can hear all kind of speculation. But that's all it is. Speculation is a fancy word for a guess. Be it educated or not so educated. That's all it is. It's a guess. But we have words written down, handed down, that tell us some of the things they knew. And this has always been one of my favorite passages. And what most people don't understand and don't comprehend and don't even have a little inkling of, in order to be called an Old Testament saint, you actually have to be a saint. Not a Catholic saint. The definition of an Old Testament saint is someone who knew God. Or, as Paul put it, someone God knew. Amen. Abraham knew God, spoke to him as a friend to friend. And in actually knowing God, these people knew Christ. Now, there are many passages that reveal to us now through reading them and the words recorded by the apostles that these Old Testament saints knew Christ. Even the words of Jesus Christ stated that. What was it? Somebody saw my day and was glad? They knew he was coming, and they knew some of what he, the Messiah, would do. Now, these Old Testament saints did offer sacrifices. You'll see it here in Job, because that's what they were instructed to do. They offered these sacrifices in faith. Until the wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, whenever he would come and become the sacrifice for sin. They were waiting for this well-beloved Son of God to come. They were waiting for the Messiah to come to earth. Now, note very carefully, I'm going to take this off, the heat's working. Note very carefully, though, none of these Old Testament saints were waiting for the Messiah to be created. Job said it here. I know my Redeemer liveth. Lives. Right then, however long ago this was, the Old Testament saints knew the Redeemer lived at that time. The child was to be born, the son that was to be given already had a name. He already had a name. His name was and is Jesus. Joshua. And at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That was the words of the Apostle Paul written to the Philippians, but it was also the words of Isaiah prophesied. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. It's Isaiah 45 and verse 23. Paul repeated it in Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Job's words here also tell us of the one who was to come. My Redeemer lives, but at the latter day he's going to stand on this earth. Christ the Redeemer was alive then. He's eternal. This was not something new. See, that's the whole thing. People think Old Testament, New Testament. Well, there was something new created, and because the Old Testament just didn't work. People couldn't keep the law, David. Well, no, they couldn't. But my Redeemer was living back in Job's day. And that's long before the New Testament times. Christ the Redeemer was alive then. And Job knew his Redeemer lives. Job knew. This wasn't a guess. I looked it up in the Greek, Walter. Here, come up a little thing on my computer about this long with little bitty lines that are hard to read, even with glasses. And you know what that word means? It means to know. Job knew. He wasn't guessing, he wasn't thinking, he wasn't speculating. Job knew his Redeemer lived. Now, he doesn't tell here how he knew. He doesn't tell. He's talking to his, quote, miserable comforters. He doesn't tell them how he knows. He just tells them whom he knows. Because it's not what he's talking about, how he knows. But I can tell you how Job knew. Now, it's not a secret, although it does qualify as a mystery. How did Job come to know his Redeemer? The same way everybody else does. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. In order for Job to know that his Redeemer liveth, he had to know his Redeemer. Now that seems simplistic. It may be. But man, there's a lot of people that don't get it. Job knew God. Because Job knew God, Job knew Christ. Because he's the one with whom we have to do. Always has been. The same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. Jesus Christ. Job knew Jesus Christ before Jesus Christ came into this world. Job knew him and knew that this one is the Redeemer. That knowledge took a miracle. We call it the miracle of grace. That's what it is in the Old Testament too. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And if Job knew his Redeemer, Job found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Yes,
he did. He's the one that brought him up to the devil. Walter's talking about that. Have you considered my servant Job? God knew this man's name. Because he called him by name. He called him by name. Job was called a servant of God by God. That's a miracle of grace. And what people, one of the things that people don't seem to understand is that is a rare and a wondrous thing in every age. At any time. Job could have said this at any time and it still would be true. I know that my Redeemer liveth. We can say it now and it's still true. I know my Redeemer lives. I know that. That's because my Redeemer does live. Now, the word used here where it says Redeemer is, well, it was pronounced Gawal. And it is the kinsman Redeemer. That's the word. That's what it means. The kinsman Redeemer, which we might remember from the book of Ruth. Job knew the one who had not only the power to redeem, but the right to redeem. Lives. And he had the power and the right to redeem all of his people because they are his family. He is their kinsman. Job spoke of him, Jesus Christ, as living because the Redeemer was from before the foundation of the world. Christ's redemption was so sure, so mighty to save, that Job knew his Redeemer was alive and was coming. Now Job continued on. This is more of what he wanted written down. He said, my Redeemer lives and shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. This was something Job was looking forward to in faith. But this was something also Job knew. Now this particular instance, which I don't know of, I don't remember ever hearing any much about this, Walter, in some of the Armenian places we've been, even though I've heard this scripture quoted. This particular instance that Job is speaking of here, that he wanted written down, hadn't happened yet. Now, I know it hadn't happened in Job's time, but I don't think it's happened in our time yet. What Job, I believe, is referring to here is actually the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because he states, and though after my skin worms destroy this body. Now, that's already happened from our time. Yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I don't think that's happened yet. Now, I do believe Job is with God, but I don't think Job's in his flesh. What was it the Sadducees had problems with, Walter? Was it resurrection? Job didn't seem to have a problem with it. Job didn't seem to have a bit of a trouble with it. This hasn't happened yet. I believe that Job was right in his prophecy, because at this time he hasn't seen God with his own eyes. But I also believe that this will happen. If I die in this world, Christ is still coming.
Yeah.
He's still coming. If the skin worms devour my flesh, he's still coming. If my bones turn to dust, Christ is still coming. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then those which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Then those... both groups will rise up to meet Christ in the air. And I will see God in my flesh with mine own eyes. I will see my Redeemer who lives. That latter day is coming, and it has nothing to do with the Mormons. This is the hope of all believers, that all believers have in Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
He is our hope, and he is coming.
Yeah.
Job saw that day and wanted what he said to be written in a book. And I thank God that it was. Because it's a blessing to me. Job saw that day and wanted what he said to be inscribed in stone. And actually, that's not a bad inscription for a tombstone. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Or... I know that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see and not another in my place. I'm not going to hear about it. I might hear about it. But I'm going to see it, because I'm going to see him one day. That was Job's hope thousands of years ago. And that's my hope today. Mine eye shall behold, and I shall see him for myself. And all it takes is a miracle from God. That's all it takes, and it takes all of it. It all comes to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because knowledge of the Redeemer is a gift from God. It is the work of God. Now, what did Old Testament saints know? They knew a whole lot more than this world knows right now. And that this world will ever know. Because they knew, just as we know, about the grace of God, which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Believers know their Redeemer lives. And believers know that he's coming. And we want that. We desire that. I want to hasten the day. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Let's go. Actually, please come. And then we'll go. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. I guess, Walter, that's the ultimate happy ending. Forget about the once upon a time thing. They all lived happily ever after. No. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what I want. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this place. And we're thankful for you, our gracious Father, who came who sent his son, who came to earth and suffered and bled and died in our stead, in our place, for our sins, who rose again and received up into the clouds, and ever liveth to make intercession for us, and who is coming again, who shall raise the dead and change the living in that latter day. Thank you, Lord. In his name we ask. Amen.